The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
Robert, hey.
Hey, man. Hello, sir.
How's the weather over there in Stockholm?
Oh, it's pretty good, actually. It's sunny and not too cold. It's actually warmer here than it was in Chicago when I was there a couple of days ago.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we've been having weather back and forth here. First, I thought winter came, and all of a sudden it was back to summer, and who knows what's going on.
Exactly.
So, all right. So if you're ready to get rolling, we can start.
Sure.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema and music. Tonight, we talk the Swedish AOR revival with Robert Sahl of WET and Work of Art, only here on the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. The mainstream corporate boardroom paint by numbers bullshit. Coming straight out of a nation best known for Saab, ABBA, classic Sunlight Studios style death metal, and a viciously aggressive black metal scene, Robert Sahl and company have spearheaded what's becoming something of a local scene in classic late 70s to mid 80s melodic AOR rock. Joined by like minded acts such as State of Salazar, Adrenaline Rush, and the various Frontiers Records projects Sahl and fellow WET compatriot Eric Martinson are either responsible for or involved with. Work of Art arose from a music conservatory background to produce some of the richest and most musically complex, yet satisfying ear candy released since the heyday of inspirations like Journey, Styx, Kansas, Foreigner, and did he really say Toto? Please join us as we delve into the history and mystery behind the rise of the one and only Robert Sahl, only here on Third Eye Cinema. And just so you know what you're getting into here, this is a track from the new album Framework, letting you know that it's time to let go.
Can feel the rain, can hear the thunder.
with our special guest tonight, Robert Saul of WED and Work of Art. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is DC Cooper from Royal Hunt, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark Bowles from Ring of Fire. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hello, everybody out there. This is Michael Kiske speaking. I'm singing with Unisonic, Plasma Dome, and other things, bands. I think I'll do it again.
Okay.
Hi, everybody out there. This is Michael Kiske speaking, singing for Unisonic and Plasma Dome, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is Tushy from Otterhorn. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is Alex Dalopoli from Rhapsody of Fire, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema. Enjoy!
This is Lambal from Edenbridge, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hey guys, this is Alex Byrod of Thunder Force, Voodoo Circle, Cinema, Primal Fear, and Rock Meets Classic, and you guys are listening to Third Eye Cinema. Wow!
You managed to grab most of them in there.
Hi, here's Matt Sinner of Primal Fear and Sinner, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Third Eye Cinema, yeah. Hey guys, this is Tova from Adrenaline Rush, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Okay. Hi everybody, this is Chris Pachanko. Hi everybody, this is Chris Pachanko from Vanishing Point, all the way in Australia. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Check it out, crank it up.
Hello, this is Diego Valdez, singer of Helker, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema. Stay tuned.
You want to have an ad? Okay, let's... Hey, folks, you're listening to Third Eye Cinema, and I'm Fabian from The New Black. Keep on rocking.
That works.
Name of the show is Third Eye Media, right?
Or Third Eye Cinema.
Cinema, okay, it says media here on my schedule. Okay, so Third Eye Cinema. So, hey, everybody, this is Pete Zug of Iron Savior, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Have fun and enjoy the ride.
Nice.
This is Sam Rosenthal of Black Tip Fluke. You're not recording this, are you? Okay, this is Sam Rosenthal of Black Tape for a Blue Girl, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Just for practice, how do I say this? Third Eye Cinema. Hello, this is Diana van Giersbergen from Xandria and the Cleavers, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Nice. Very dramatic, too. I like that sort of Maria Callas approach.
Hey, that's what I do.
I know, I heard Dora of Chorus.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Lee Christine from Leave Size, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock on.
Okay. Hello, I'm Sonia Scarlett. I'm the singer of Teatro de Vampire, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema. Thank you, and bloody kisses.
Hi, everybody. This is Robert Sam from Work Lord, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock on.
Perfect.
Oh, great.
Tonight, we're talking music, and we have with us a man who's come out of nowhere to make his mark at the very pinnacle of the current AOR revival. As one-third of the well-respected Wet, alongside the legendary Jeff Scott Soto and producer-guitarist Eric Martinson, he came straight out of Sweden's SLL School of Music to craft three outstanding albums with his own power trio, with a sound harking straight back to the heydays of such bands as Journey, Foreigner, Styx, and Kansas. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming guitarist, keyboardist, bassist, and driving force behind a true work of art, Robert Saul. Robert, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Thank you.
Now, you're well known as part of Wet with classic Yngwie Malmsteen, Takara, and Trans-Siberian Orchestra vocalist Jeff Scott Soto, and Eric Martinson, who recently produced Pavel Wanning's Arel and Rush project. But you've actually been doing work of art since just before Wet debuted, with the release of artwork back in 2008.
Yeah, that's true. But even before that, me and Eric have been friends for almost 10 years before the first work art album, so we've been talking about doing something together for a long time. So it just so happened that Wet and Work Art came out with like 1.5 years in between.
Oh, so do you guys go to school together or something?
Yeah.
It's funny how things work out like that in life.
It is. It is.
So, first off, what inspired a relatively young guy like yourself to immerse yourself in the sound of the very late 70s and early to mid 80s AOR scene?
Well, it's actually the music that I grew up on. I mean, me and Eric Martin, we talk about this a lot, that we are probably the last generation who actually grew up with this music, because we grew up in the mid to late 80s.
Right.
So I got hooked on music really early, and that the stuff that I got hooked on was like Toto, Journey, Van Halen or whatever, and I have the same taste in music basically ever since. So that's probably why.
Because, yeah, you know, Journey is still quite respected, but to hear bands like Styx, Foreigner, Kansas, Post-Dio, Rainbow in a band sound is kind of surprising. And you directly mentioned Steve Lukather's Toto as an influence. That's really going out there on a limb.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Hold the Line is great, but you don't really hear people saying, oh, yeah, Toto.
Oh, exactly. But you know, it's in America, Journey is still famous and going strong or whatever, but they rarely come over to Europe. But for Toto, I don't think they're that popular in America anymore, but they have always been popular in Europe.
Really?
Yeah. So they come over to play in Europe every second year.
Yeah, I mean, these are good influences to have. But, you know, when you say to somebody in America, yeah, I'm starting up a band and I'm going to sound like Toto, they're looking at you, we have three heads.
Oh, yeah. But to be honest, when we started this band, it was the same thing. Because, we started Work Walk back in 1992, and Toto and that kind of music was very unhip at the point because it had been so popular throughout the 80s.
Right.
So it kind of backlashed, and then everybody was hating that kind of music. So when we started, it was really unhip as well.
So you have plans to cover Rosanna or something?
No. I think we get compared to Toto so much, so doing a cover song will probably not be the right thing for us to do because the influence is already there. But to be perfectly honest, the first recordings I ever did was for an album called Fanfields, and that was a Toto tribute album. So we've already done a couple of Toto tributes.
Now, obviously, you guys were a natural fit for Serafino Perugino's Frontiers Records.
Yeah.
And to some extent, this explains your quick acquaintance. Well, okay, from my view, before I knew you grew up with him, it explained your quick acquaintance with Eric Martinson and Wet. But there's more to the story here, because there seems to be something of an AOR revival going on in Sweden lately with yourselves and the project you and Eric are involved with. But also newcomers like Mamo State of Salazar are playing in a very similar ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
So what's going on?
Actually, I don't know. I was kind of pleasantly surprised to see that there's a new generation who has picked up on this music. Because, I mean, when I met Eric and also our drummer Herman,
right,
there were not a lot of people who were into this music, at least not in our age. But the recent maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years, there have been a lot of younger bands coming out doing this music. And it's great to see.
Yeah, and it's really surprising. And since there are several of them located, I mean, maybe because you guys are involved in them, but it's located around Sweden, I'm like, is there something going on there that we didn't know about? You know, the last we heard from Sweden, it was all death metal, so.
Yeah. But that was probably in the 90s, early 2000s.
Right, right.
But, you know, people ask us about this a lot. And the funny thing is that it may look like it's a big scene here in Sweden, but the truth is that the scene here is almost, at least if you look at radio and TV and stuff, they totally ignore this style of music. Right. There are a lot of good bands who can't start us with them, but there are not very many places to play or the music doesn't get much recognition or anything.
Well, that's the case with good music anywhere, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
So another tie is that both Work of Art and State of Salazar appear to have formed around a group of guys graduating from a music university, in your case, the SOL School of Music, and there's the Malmö Academy of Music. And the only other bands that come to my mind that formed around that basis were Racer X and Phantom Blues, so you're in pretty good company there, but, you know, what is this?
At least for me, before I went to that school, I didn't know very many people who played, at least not in the area of Stockholm where I grew up.
Right.
It was basically me and there were some punk rockers, but they were into something completely different music-wise.
Right.
So when I got accepted to that school, a whole other world opened up for me, because finally I got to meet players that were really good and were into, play someone that were into the same music as me. So that was basically the only way that I could form a band, and to meet guys who could play, so I could form a band, was because of that. So that was a really good thing for me, apart from the education, of course, but just to meet people that were good at playing.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that the music's going to influence to some extent, because the music you're making, like that at the early to mid-80s bands you're walking in the footsteps of, is a hell of a lot more complicated structure than anything out there nowadays. I mean, there's modulations, you've got unusual chord and phrasing choices. Every song has so many bridges and motifs, you could fill in three modern radio hits. So, you know, it's there.
It is.
And, you know, unfortunately, we're talking about the popular music, we've kind of gone down the Demolition Man road with folks like, you know, Garth Brooks and Shania Twain introducing the world to mini songs with a chorus repeating over and over and over again. And there's nothing else set up to support it. And this is not just like, okay, they came up with country pop, but this is all across the music spectrum. You know, I find myself listening to and appreciate more of the older stuff, regardless of genre, just for the sheer complexity comparatively and the solid basis in melody and proper song structure. So I was very pleasantly surprised to hear a couple of bands coming up recently, like Work of Art and like State of Salazar and, you know, the Frontiers crowd.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think there's so much more going on in the style of music that you mentioned from the early mid-80s. So I think, I mean, those songs last longer because you can listen to them a lot of times and you still discover new stuff. And that's one of the things I really like about music, whereas this new pop music, I mean, you hear it once and then you know the song. It's not much more to discover.
Exactly. It goes beyond like a three-chord vamp and then that's
it.
So
that's it, yeah.
Now, the first incarnation of Worker Art utilized two different session bass players and a guest lead player on several tracks. Why was that, since you've tightened things down to the present Triumph Rush-style power trio thereafter?
Well, the reason why, the band has always been a trio. And the reason for that is probably because we never could find any other guys when we started the band. And then we went, I mean, the band was put on hold for like 10 years between 1995 and 2005. So when we decided to get back together, we never thought of doing it any other way than we used to, like the three of us, because we have been long-time friends and everything. And then basically we just invite whoever we feel is the right guy for the particular song when we make albums.
Right.
Anyone that we feel could bring something extra to it. So actually on the latest album, it's like 7 or 6 different bass players. So that's crazy, but it's friends, and they're all good guys, good musicians and everything. So it's not a problem. It's actually, it's fun to be able to invite your friends to play on the record.
So are you actually handling the bass duties or no? Because the promotional material said you were.
yeah. And a lot of people think that I am, but I'm not playing bass.
Okay.
I do a lot of keyboard stuff, most of the keyboard stuff, along with our singer, who is an excellent keyboard player, much better than I, because I write the songs and then I arrange everything and record the demos and stuff. So I already got that stuff covered.
Right.
But he redo some keyboards whenever he feels it's necessary. And the bass is, like I said, it's outside guys.
And how do you handle that when you play out? Do you just hire guys for the tour? Or?
I mean, we haven't done that many live gigs, but we have used the same guys for our gigs. So actually, the guy who plays on the most songs on the record is the bass player. His name is Andreas Passmark, and he's with us live, and also a keyboard guy called Jonas Gröning, who does the keyboard solos on the last two albums.
So there's also been a noticeable change between artwork and the two albums which followed in Progress and Framework.
Yeah.
You know, while it's still the same band, artwork felt a lot softer. It was leaning more towards like the Kevin Cronin era REO Speedwagon or Michael McDonald Doobie Brothers than the more aggressive, you know, Toto meets Loverboy by Way of Journey thing you have going on nowadays.
Yeah.
So what prompted this change in tone?
I think on the first album, we were sort of, it was the first album we ever recorded, I mean, a whole album with any band that we've been involved with prior to that. So we were kind of finding our way, so to speak. It's also the fact that our singer, he's the guy who mixes album. He doesn't have a rock and roll background.
Ah.
He's a pop guy. So I had and still have to try to explain how it should sound so we get, in order to sound the way we want to do. Or at least the way I want to do. But he has a different background. So as we got the more experience of working together,
Right.
He started to get a hang with that, I guess.
Okay, because I was going to say, if that's true, you did a good job coaching him.
Yeah.
He's got a great voice.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the thing. I think we make a great team because he understands we're right. The common band that we all love when we got together in the first place were bands like A Giant Journey and especially from his part, Toto, and he's into like bands like Queen, which they're rock and roll, but artists like Peter Gabriel and Genesis and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, he has a little bit of prog and a lot of pop bands. He likes a lot of electronic music as well. But I think we make a great team because I get the ideas and he's very good at understanding what I'm after.
Right.
We work well together.
And, we're talking about song structure and things here. Even beyond that, the practical musicianship involved, it's noticeable. I mean, unless you're talking somebody like, Ritchie Blackmore with Rainbow or Neil Sean and Journey, that's not usually something you can say about a lot of the older AOR. But I can hear this. It's never flashy, but your solos are melodic and soaring. Lars' vocals are smooth and powerful. Herman's drums play just enough with the meter and syncopation to show he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah,
it's the kind of music you don't even necessarily notice at first, but then you start picking things up on repeated listens, like a fine wine.
Exactly. I'm happy that you say that because that's kind of what we're trying to do here, and also that's something that I found in a lot of music that I like as well.
Exactly.
You don't have. I mean, even if you have the chops, you don't have to explain them all the time. It's kind of economic playing, whatever you call it.
Right. And the problem is, especially when I was younger, I was like, somebody that's not really doing something flashy, you don't have an Eddie Van Halen, you have an Eric Clapton. I'm like, he doesn't know what he's doing. And then as you get older, you start hearing, he can do that all right. He's just, he's using it when it's appropriate and not.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I started out the same way as well. I was totally into all the guitar shredders when I was younger, like 13, 14. But then I discovered the LA guys, like Dan Huff from Giant and Steve Lukather and whatnot, and they were playing in a much more subtle way, I think. They had the chops, but they didn't, use them all the time, and I felt that was very appealing to me.
Exactly. I mean, you can even go as far as Night Ranger with Brad Gillis and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He can do it, but, he does it when it's appropriate, not every single song. So.
No, exactly. It's more, I think it has more effect when you use it a little more seldom.
Right. So, you said you don't play out too much, but I was going to say, let's talk tour plans. Do you have anything coming up, or do you have any plans to come stateside? Or?
Yeah, as far as going to the States, I don't think we'll do that because we came home yesterday from our gig in Chicago.
Right.
So that will probably take a while before we get back to the States, and it's a tough market for this kind of music.
Yeah.
At least to get gigs. But other than that, we have there are a lot of plans or gigs that are in the making that are not confirmed yet.
Right.
I can't really speak about them until they're 100% confirmed.
Gotcha.
But we're going to do some festivals next summer, and the one that is confirmed is a festival here in Sweden for a change, because we always get to go abroad when we play live. But it's a festival called Väsby Festival, which is their third year, and it's getting bigger and bigger every year. So it's a really nice festival.
So it's not like, ABBA going around playing the folk parks or something. You know?
No, not at all.
So anything you'd like to plug, or did you want to point listeners to your website or your Facebook page?
Yeah, for anybody who is interested in work, what and what's happening, go please visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/musicalworkwart. And then there you can find all the latest news on what's going on with gigs and everything.
Well, with that, Robert, I'd like to thank you again for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema, and we certainly love to have you back to talk your next work of art. I suggest gallery for a title.
Yeah, why not? Art gallery.
So it's a pleasure talking to you. Talk to you soon.
Hope so. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yeah.
And to close out our chat with Robert, here's another one from Work of Art asking, how do you sleep at night? Contact us here, comments, suggestions, or your filmmaker, musician who'd like to join us on air. Email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema, plus you get a couple online networks. the holiday season. We've been off air for a while. Here's a little Christmas present for everyone. One last song from Work of Art, taking things one step over the line. Part of this or any other Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listening or download at your convenience.